Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by Iron Man U, by everyone.org, everyone.org, coming up in East Bay on July 24th, 2016. RunCatalina.com, our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep challenge athletes in the game of life. And check us out on iTunes or on Babbittville and subscribe to our newsletter in studio, which I always love. One of the world's greatest triathletes. This last year, she was fourth at the Ironman World Championship in Kona, and she has been eighth, she has been 12th, she's been 14th. She has done it all. Michelle, how are you?
Hi, Bob. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Michelle Vesterby, our guest in studio. And Michelle, I love the backstory because you grew up as a swimmer, correct?
Correct.
So you were swimming, but you weren't doing, you didn't do triathlon. You sort of had retired from the swimming thing. Were more the party girl going to Club La Santa in Lanzarote?
Yeah. I actually did retire quite early from the swimming, you know, because I thought that it was
boring.
Boring, yeah. And more fun at the discotheques as well.
So you're at the discotheque.
Yeah.
And you're dancing and you meet some boy.
Yes, sir.
Klaus.
Klaus.
Who is now your husband.
Yes. Lucky guy.
He's incredibly lucky.
Totally lucky.
So you're dancing with this guy, and he was there for a triathlon, a group of folks who were training for triathlon.
Exactly.
And the conversation was...
There was actually no conversation. I just told him, give me your jacket, I will give it to the bartender, which of course was one of my friends, because you're going home with me later.
That's what you told him?
That was actually the words.
I love that. So he's going home with you later, and of course he's asking, well, you're a triathlete as well, right?
So the conversation is starting and we start chatting, and I know that he was there with a triathlon group because I already spotted him earlier that
right.
day, you know, so oh, I knew that this was going to be my husband one day.
You knew he was going to be your husband?
Yeah, I told my friend that I was there with, I said, that guy, I'm going to marry him. And she was like, I don't think you have a chance. And I was like, I will have a chance.
She didn't think that you had a chance.
No, she didn't. I don't know why.
What
the heck? I don't know. I was that little black-haired, chubby girl.
So when you started talking triathlon with him, you made it seem like you were a triathlete.
Yes, sir. I lied a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, yeah.
To keep him interested.
Yes.
But then it turned out he lived pretty close to you at home.
Yeah, and there's only one triathlon club in the city we lived in. So he was lit a little bit like, I have never seen you in the triathlon club before. How could that be? And at this point, I had to make another little lie.
Yeah.
And say that it was because of the exams and stuff like that.
You've been studying.
Yeah, I've been really busy. Yeah.
But then you went and borrowed a bike from somebody to put it in your apartment so it looked like you were... A triathlete.
Exactly. First date, borrowed a bike, put it in the apartment, and whoopty, I was a triathlete.
And he fell for it.
He fell for it. So easy.
Guys are just so
easy. They are so easy, those boys. Yeah.
So then you start actually doing triathlon.
Yeah. And then I beat him, and then he stopped.
Then he stopped and became your bike bitch.
Exactly.
So he took care of you.
Yeah. That's how it works.
I love it. How long was it before you were beating him at triathlon? Or was it like the first time out?
He will probably say I never really beat him, but I will say like the first
time out.
First time out, yeah.
First time out.
I was a faster swimmer than him quite fast, you know. I had to get into the business again because I hadn't been in the water for like a few years.
Right.
So, he was strong as well when I met him. He was doing pro races as well. But
yes.
Yeah. You know.
What was it about this new sport that worked for you, that you liked?
I don't know. Actually, in the beginning, I really don't think I liked the sport that much.
You like the boy.
I like the boy. And I was like, okay, I will join you for the youth training. I will join for the swim. I will join for the biking, you know. So it was more social activities in the beginning. And I also, again, started to like the, you know, getting fit.
Yes,
you know, being
you're feeling
a little
good
bit
about
more
yourself.
Lean, feel good about yourself. I think I've been dancing too much on the discotheque, staying out too late and drinking too much alcohol, you know. So for me, it was good to get into this rhythm again. And I was studying sport at the university at the same time.
Right.
So it was like maybe not that bad to take that road.
So at the first, because usually people get into, especially on the elite level, the pro level, they start with the whole ITU, the short distance, the draft legal racing. Did you do some of that?
Yeah, I did. I did some short distance races actually from 2008. I think I did my first one until 2011.
Right.
So I did a bit of ITU races, but I really didn't enjoy
it.
No, I didn't like it that much because I had to. It's so hard to do ITU races, and Ironman is so much more easy and comfortable compared to ITU.
Right.
It's stressful, and I don't like stress. I like that I am in control. In ITU races, I'm not in control at all. Everyone has to control me, you know. I have to be with the lead pack. I have to bike so hard. And
you have to think too much.
Yeah.
You have to be, because you all dive in the water together.
Yeah.
And off that dock, which becomes like
fighting.
A blender, right?
Yeah,
you're fighting each other.
Oh, yeah.
So then they always put the first buoy about 200 yards so that all you guys have to go around it together
and
beat the crap out of each other. Mm. Then you're on the bike, and since it's draft legal, everybody's together.
Yeah.
You got, 50 women all like elbows and people surging, and there's nothing predictable about it.
Not at all.
And then you've got all 50 women coming off the bike together.
And running 10K?
Yes.
Like
full out.
Full out.
They're running like 32.
They're running like crazy.
Yeah, they're crazy. So for you, when you first found the longer distance, you liked that right away.
I became so much more happy.
Yeah.
You know, I become the bubbly Dane. I wasn't that when I did ITU. I was more like stressed. And everything always went wrong in my races.
Yeah.
I remember my chain broke, my seat post fall down, my handlebar fall down in another race. Everything just went wrong for me. So it just wasn't meant to be. I always had an excuse for myself and for the race I did.
That was your goal to make. So you're thinking 2012 Olympics?
Yeah, that was my goal.
That was the goal.
Yeah, that was the goal. That was what they told me. Just try to go for the Olympic. And if you don't make it, you can be a reserve for the two other girls that will go. And I was like, it didn't suit me that well. I loved the idea, and I would not say I really would love to go to the Olympic if it was possible. But again, that distance was just not me.
Yeah, it wasn't set up for you.
No.
So what was your first ITU race?
So that's actually funny because there was a Danish championship in 2010 in Denmark that was on the half distance, and I remember it as it was yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't really talk much to Rasmus Henning.
Yes.
But the week before the race, I got a phone call, and he called me and said, I don't think you should race. Everyone had an opinion in Denmark about me not racing that half distance because it was too much for me, that I had to focus on the Olympic distance races.
And he's one of the legends in triathlon in Denmark.
So I was shocked. I was like, okay, is this the wrong decision to do? Is this not good?
Yeah.
And the long distance girls at the time, some of them was a little bit bitchy about me doing it. And it actually, I won that race.
You won it.
It was my first Danish champions.
And it was basically a half Ironman.
It was a half. And I remember I was running out there and I saw my old coach halfway and I was like, can I keep this speed? It's going pretty good, isn't it? And he was just like, don't talk, run. So I was just having a blast of a party out there for my first half. And
And so when you win that, that's when the smile started.
Yes.
You realize, okay, this is a different sport than what I've been doing. The other thing was very stressful. This is all about me.
Yeah.
You don't have to count on anybody else. You don't have to work with anybody else. It's just you pushing yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you love that.
So much more fun. I loved it.
Yeah. And it seems like in the half and in the full distance, you can be friends with the other girls because really it comes down to who's better on the day. So it's not like the psychological stuff that goes on with bike racing or with the ITU style of racing?
Yeah, not that much at least.
Yes.
Half distance is still like close to short distance, I will always
say
that. Yeah, it is still fast. So for me, I still think a half distance is really rough the day today, you know. So I really still prefer the Ironman distance. But for sure, all our long distance girls, I see there's a really good relationship between the girls.
And yes.
You can hang out with them and
sure.
You can be friends with them. And yeah, Rachel Joyce, I love to have a cup of coffee with her. We did that before.
Yeah.
The day before Ironman Kona this year, you know. So
yeah.
It's real. That's what I love about the sport now. You can be friendly and
yes.
Talk to people and just do your own thing.
Now, when you run into some friends who knew you from the disco days,
yeah,
and
oh,
they
then
they say, "What are you doing now?" "Well, I'm a professional triathlete."
Yeah.
What do they say?
Yeah, but no one really believes in it. It's really funny. The most funny one is actually my old swim coach.
Yeah,
because every time we had to run a swim practice, as part of the swim practice, I always hide it at the toilet.
So basically, the other girls would keep running, and you'd
yeah.
hide, and then just come back.
Exactly, and I never really thought that he knew.
He knew.
But he was like, he was just happy I did it because then they didn't have to wait for me. So every time I see him, he's still shaking his head, and he's just like, "What?
I can't believe!
I can't believe you did that."
So in 2012, you come to Kona for the first time.
Yeah.
And people either get off the airplane and hate it because it's hot and it's windy and, you know, it's black and dark out there because of the volcano and, I mean, lava rock. But you finished 12th the first time out and seemed like you loved every minute of it.
I love every minute of it. I just cannot stop smiling when I think about Kona. I really love that place.
Yeah. What is it about it?
I think it's the whole atmosphere there. I like the tension. I like the nervousity, what is it called, when you're nervous and goosebumps.
Yes.
It's just everything about it. Just the smell when you land. It sounds like a cliche. But
no, but
really,
you smell the flowers
yeah,
and the breezes at night.
Exactly, yeah.
It's very
and
special.
I just love hot weather.
Yes.
I just love it when it's warm. Like here in California, right? Started my bike ride this morning. Now I talk in degrees.
Yes.
It was 10 degrees. It was freezing
okay.
cold.
Yes.
And then when I finished my training, it was 29 degrees. And that's what I love about California. Please turn the heat up a little bit earlier.
Yeah. So it's interesting, for being from Denmark, the
yeah,
fact
I
that
know.
You can...
I'm born the wrong place,
yeah,
I know.
Because you don't have a problem with the heat. You like it.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
That is wild. It's okay.
Yeah.
So when you finish 12th, and then you follow it up the next year by finishing 8th,
yeah.
You're going, okay, I'm on the right path.
Yeah.
This is exactly where I should be. And I'm assuming that's the goal. You want to win that race.
Of course, everyone want to win that race.
Yes.
Yeah. But not everyone is going to win that race.
You're right.
Yeah.
So how did that change when you finished 12th and 8th, and when you started finishing top 10 at Kona, people look at you differently? Because once you're top 10, you can win, usually, you know, there's potential that you can win that race.
I think that people are also quick forget.
Yes.
It's really hard to stay on top.
Yes.
I think in this game as well, you have to perform, and everything that happens before Kona and everything that happens after Kona doesn't matter. It's what happened in Kona that really counts.
Right.
So I also came into Kona with the expectation after finishing 8.
Yes.
Like, hey, guys, I finished 12, I finished 8. Can you do the math? I will finish 4, and then I will win this shit.
Right, so, yeah.
When I finished 8... and then the year after, I actually had a really bad year. And I,
yeah, that
not,
was 14th,
not
yeah.
bad, but I finished 14th.
Yes.
I didn't find the legs and, you know.
So just wasn't the day.
That just wasn't the day. So last year, there was no expectation. I had a really easy, you know, going into the race. There was no expectation. I didn't qualify before 6 weeks before.
I was going to say, last year was pretty stressful for you.
It
because
was stressful.
for our listeners, to get to Kona as a pro, you have to get a certain number of points and be able to, you know, be in the top 35 women accepted to go to Kona as a pro. And you went to Frankfurt and had was that mechanical?
No, I just, that
didn't
was
like,
that was actually the heat.
Oh, like it was really hot there.
That was really hot in another way, and I wasn't prepared for it.
Mm.
In Kona, you come, you know what you have to expect. And what
but not
you
so much
expect.
In Frankfurt that
in
time
Frankfurt,
of year.
I didn't know, and I was living in this room with no air conditioner, sweating all night long, and I was like...
You just dehydrated.
It doesn't matter, I thought,
no.
But it really did.
Yeah.
So I stopped after 20K on the run. Actually,
yes.
Luke told me to stop. He was there.
Yes, your
like,
coach, Luke Van Leerde.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was like, get out of here, you know,
yes.
This doesn't make any sense. And after that race, I couldn't walk for like a week. Ugh. And despite I stopped after 20K.
And usually, I mean, the idea is to qualify as quickly as possible so you can pick your races and not do too many long distance races. So after Frankfurt, then you tried again. Where'd you try again?
So again, my coach told me, Michelle, please wait. Just do Ironman Copenhagen 6 weeks before Hawaii. And I was like, no, I'm in the shape of my life. I want to race now. So I took a plane to Ironman UK. So that was actually just 2 weeks after Frankfurt.
Okay. Yeah.
So I went there and I got shown the wrong way on the bike.
Oh, you got directed the wrong way on the bike. I remember that.
Yeah, so I actually did bike 200K.
Oh.
Instead of the 180.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that was a long way. And I started the run and I ran again 23K, where Klaus was like, this doesn't make any sense.
No, you're not going to get any points.
No,
yet.
I was trying to see if this could be enough and run myself
sure.
up.
Sure.
But no, it didn't
not
really work.
Happen.
No. So I started, 5 Ironmans in like 3 months.
And so what was the one where you finally qualified?
Then I did Ironman Copenhagen, which
and
I won.
And you won, yes.
Yeah. And I was.
Oh, and that must have been great to do that in your backyard.
Oh, it was so great. I always wanted to do that race. I always thought it was too close to Kona. So I always said, no, I can't do this. I want to focus on Hawaii.
Right.
But this year I was just so full of energy after finishing that race and winning that race on home soil. And everyone was cheering and the atmosphere was great and people all over. That's an Ironman where there's so many spectators. So
yeah. Well, and then besides that, you also won Challenge Denmark.
Yeah.
Which that we were there for that.
You were there, yeah.
Yeah. And just seeing the difference in your running form. Just seeing how much I'm more upright and strong you seemed across the shoulders. And it seemed like you'd been doing more core work. You just seemed like a different runner. Was that something you and Luke concentrated on last year?
You know what? I actually think so. When I started with triathlon in 2008, I hadn't run.
Right.
So I just think I'm starting
to
learn how to move my body. You know, I just think every year I improve my running, and I feel also already this year so much better than I did last year.
Really,
I really feel that my running is it's on the way to the next step, and I really cannot wait for that because I've always been told, and it was so nice that people actually like you, lots of other guys saying, hey, you look like a runner
now.
You
look like a runner, no question.
No, and that was really nice to feel because I've always been told, hey, you don't run good.
You look like a swimmer. You're a swimming runner.
You will never learn to run, and I really think a lot of people have had that idea about me, and I'm like, when people have that idea, I want to prove them wrong.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
So your coach, Luke Van Leerde, and it's funny because this is 20 years since he surprised the world by coming to Kona and going 8:04 and breaking the course record. Never had run a marathon before, and he just came out of nowhere and won the Ironman World Championship. What has he brought to you as a coach and a mentor?
So it's really funny because Luke and me are totally different athletes. Luke is a huge talent.
Yes.
You can see that. When he jumps in the water, it just still looks
natural.
Smooth.
Yeah.
When he runs, it still looks smooth. It's actually really irritating when it comes to that.
I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. Where some of the other guys have to fight more for it and work more for it. And I actually did doubt Luke last year. You know, I had that, everything is going wrong. What is going wrong? Is it the wrong relationship we had? Doesn't he understand my joke?
Yes.
Are we not on the same level, you know? And then he's just been right all the time.
So you finally learn that after a while.
I really find out that Luke has I trust him like 110%.
Yes.
What he said will happen. He told me we started working together in 2013 in March. Yes. And he said, Michelle, 2016 will be that year. I will make the best out of you. And that's this year, right?
Right.
So it's just been building up. He said, you sometimes need to take 2 steps back before we can move forward.
Right.
And that was probably what
very
we did.
Hard for you.
Very, very hard because I want everything today.
Of course you do.
I don't want to wait.
No, and you want the progression. You're like, okay, I did, I finished 8th and I finished 12th and I finished 8th and I mean, no, I.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 12th and 8th. Yeah. So then I want 4th and I want to win. Boom. Yeah. That's where I want it to go. So
exactly.
When I take a step back and go to 14th, that's not what you want, but that's part of triathlon.
Exactly. And right now it's all worth it, right? Yeah. I finished 4th last year. That was more than I could dream about.
Right.
So I was so happy. And And again, now this year, I really want to do more. And I've been calling Luke like, hey, I need to train some more coats. Hey, when do I get some speed? And he's just like, Michelle, patient.
Yes.
Do your thing. Do what I'm telling you. We have one big focus. That's Ironman Hawaii.
That's it.
And then we want to do a quick Ironman in July.
Yes.
This summer. So, yeah, it's really like, I believe in him, I'm trusting him, but I want everything to happen now, and he's more like much more patient and much more calm to talk to.
Now, talk a little bit about your late brother Mark, because
yeah.
I know that you talked about he couldn't talk, he couldn't walk, he was somebody who was very important to you, and he was someone who always had a big smile on his face, right?
Exactly.
He's somebody, and it seems like you've adopted that the fact that. That he's no longer with us, but he's somebody who, I'm sure you draw on that when you're out running and you're feeling bad or whatever, to put that smile on your face and just keep going?
Yeah, it was actually fun. I talked to a girl today about it, and she said, oh, Mark must have learned to smile from you. And I said, no, I learned to smile from Mark.
Yes.
Because he was that guy that didn't have anything but was happy with what he
had.
Exactly. So despite he couldn't swim or bike or run, he just always was so happy and so smiling. So she was like, oh, I'm sad to hear it. There's nothing to be sad about. Mark had the best 26 years of his life. And he didn't know that he could have had 26 years more if, you know,
right.
That was the fact. So the years he had, he was happy and he was smiling. So my motto is definitely keep smiling.
Yeah.
It's coming from Mark. And I just found out that also again in triathlon, the shortest distance between people is really the smile, and it's so easy. And if a person smiles to me on the street that I don't know, it gives me energy, right?
Of course.
For extra.
Yeah.
So that's really, and I find that in racing and in training that if I put the smile on, it makes the training easier, it makes the training funnier. The same goes to the races.
So when did Mark pass away?
So Mark passed away in 2006.
Okay, oh, so before you started the whole triathlon
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, actually, I met Klaus just a month later.
Yes.
Then Mark passed away. So, and Klaus is just like Mark. He's always happy and always
yes.
outgoing, and
yes.
he's that person that people want to talk to. They don't want to talk to me. They want to talk to Klaus because he's the nice one. So in that way, I really think that there's a lot of destiny in it as well. And it may sound like a cliche, but I definitely
yes.
think that Mark and Klaus would have connected like one.
Right away.
So yeah, right away. He would have sat down and, you know, I sometimes have some boyfriend with me home and they saw Mark and didn't really know what to do.
Right.
But Klaus, he would just have ran in his arms because that was what Mark needed. He just wanted one to sit down, lay down with next to him, talk to him, hold him. He only had one hand that could really work.
Yes.
And he was always, you could feel his power in that hand when you was close to him.
Was it a birth defect or what?
Yeah, it was.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay.
So he had, I don't know what it's called in English,
yes.
actually. He had water in his head and then he had a spinal issue. Yeah, so he had a really big bump on his back.
Oh, like yeah. a hump.
A hump,
thing,
yeah,
yes.
maybe. I don't know what it's
huh.
called. Yeah. So, but yeah, he didn't know anything better. But we were just so happy about him. And it's funny how I can drag it into my life now that he's, I don't say he wasn't a big part because he was a big part.
Yes.
Everything was surrounded about Mark. We have to change our daily routines to Mark because that's clear.
Sure.
But this day to day, I just see him like this motivation.
Yes.
In my everyday.
So this last year,
yeah.
you know, coming off of an Ironman where, you know, when you come off of the, you know, people go, okay, she finished eighth, then she finished 14th. Maybe she's going backwards. Maybe she had a couple good races
yeah.
and, you know, she's done. So when you go into it this year, were you confident going to Kona, especially the fact you didn't qualify until so late and you went to a couple of Ironman races and didn't have the races you wanted to have? How stressed were you when you got to Kona? Were you almost relaxed because you had, I got here?
I was really happy and pleased to be there.
Yes.
So that was my first goal. That was to get to Hawaii again
yeah.
because I knew that this is a race that I can perform in. But I was nervous. I was really, really nervous because
yeah.
coming off a season that hasn't gone as planned.
Right.
Finishing in and winning Ironman Copenhagen made me believe in myself again,
yes.
Made me believe in the project.
Yes.
And I could see that I had changed. I could see that Ironman, I broke 9 hours again,
yes.
In Copenhagen,
yes.
And I was all alone from start to beginning, and it was not an easy year in Copenhagen. Everyone says that you should plus 5-10 minutes.
Yes.
You know? So I was confident in that way because I was pushing myself, and I knew that that was I had to do in Kona. You know, you have the other girls there, but you still have to do your own race. And that's
right.
The most important thing in Kona, actually, is to be able to do your own thing. So I was surprised and I was happy and emotional already on the run this year. And I was like, wow, is this really going to happen?
Well, and the cool thing is, so you look at, you know, Daniela Reif, Rachel Joyce, Liz Blatchford, and then Michelle Vesterby. So, you know, you look at the times,
yeah.
And you go, okay, and then you look at the people. And you know who the players are.
Yeah.
You know what you need to do. You have to get similar to you going under 9 hours in Copenhagen.
Mm.
To win this race, you're going to have to get down to around 9 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, the weather always changes a little bit.
Sure,
but basically, 8:55 to 9:05 is going to win the Ironman. How do you do that?
How do you do that? Well, I can't tell you everything here in the radio.
Oh,
but
there's nobody
never
listening.
Know who's in. No, it's Sunday
this
night.
This is just a 50,000 watt sports station.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wouldn't worry about
no,
it.
No, no. No, so of course we have some different things that we're working on this year to prepare
yeah.
me to get even better.
Yes.
And one of those things is, of course, my running.
Right.
I need to be faster.
Yes.
I ran a 3:12.
Okay.
In Kona this
yeah.
year, I think, around.
Yes.
And I need to go down to 3:05 at
yes.
least
yes.
to do good. And then I also need to come off the bike for sure.
Right.
So we're also working on my bike power. I really feel strong on the bike now.
And that's what you're doing. You're not really doing speed stuff right now. You are doing power.
No, I'm totally stressed. I'm having a race in 2 weeks in Oceanside, and I don't have done any speed yet. Before today, actually.
Right.
I did
yeah.
a hard session this morning. I'm actually a little bit tired, Bob. But... Yeah, so no, we haven't done much speed. We're building up. We're
right.
preparing ourselves for everything.
So
that can happen in Kona.
Since no one from Denmark has won the Ironman World Championship, yeah. what would it mean?
That would mean a lot. Actually, fourth place. There was only one girl who's done that before in Denmark, Susanne Nielsen, back in 1999.
Wow.
I
yeah.
think so.
Yeah.
In new times, that was the best Danish result. Yeah, that would mean the world to me. Of course it would.
Yes.
But I also know I have some hot players I'm up against. Daniela Reif, she was dominating. Can she do the same next year? It will be difficult to get close to her.
And
you also know Mirinda, if
yeah.
she has...
Mirinda Carfrey will be back.
She's still
3-time
there.
3-time champion,
yeah. Exactly. She had
the cave. You've got all these champions coming
exactly,
back.
Exactly, yeah. So there is a lot of good girls. But again, as you said, you know who your players are. You know what I have to do. So if I can improve my times for this year,
yes.
I will also be up there.
Right.
Because it is Kona, and people are doing stupid things in Kona, and things are happening in Kona, right? That doesn't happen anywhere else in the world.
So how hard was it, you're coming off of Kona, but you know I want to validate, and to validate, you needed to finish, right? You need to go do a race. So immediately turning around and going to Ironman Arizona.
That was actually a crazy decision, but I'm really happy. I was the first girl to verify my Kona
yes.
spot. So, but taking the first stroke in the water in Arizona, I came in, I was confident. Hey, I just won Ironman Copenhagen. I just finished fourth in Kona. I will win this.
Yes.
But taking the first stroke in the water, I was like, okay, I'm empty.
Right.
I was just empty physically. I was empty
emotionally.
Mentally.
Yes.
I was just empty because
just finished fourth in Kona.
Yeah, and I also started Ironman Frankfurt, and I also started Ironman UK, and that was all in the 2 months before, right? So that was a lot. But I was just like, okay, just get through this race.
It was only a month or so after Kona.
Yeah, 4 weeks after Kona.
Wow.
Yeah. So on the run, I promised myself, run the first 10K, then you can walk the rest. But the weather in Arizona was really, really bad. It was
the raining,
cold.
Right?
It was raining. And you know, I don't like cold weather.
No, you like
my
hot.
My body don't perform well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, okay, Michelle, you run to 20K because it's too cold to walk.
Yes, you'll
so
freeze.
I ran to 20K and I was like, okay, Michelle, you take the next five. And in that way, I actually got through the marathon as well, and did finish okay, actually.
Yeah,
I
think you got fifth. So,
fifth, 9-11 or something, yeah. I think my time was. So it wasn't bad.
Right. But the best part was it puts you in a position to decide your own destiny for this year, right?
I can relax until October if I want to.
Right. Yes, really. You don't really have to race anything.
No.
But you are going
to
race.
I like to race.
I know you do. You like to race a lot. And you are going to start out in Oceanside coming up on April 3rd.
Yeah.
And what, Heather Wortel,
everyone
Heather
is
Jackson,
there.
Caroline, Stefan is coming to town. I mean, it's going to be a packed field.
Yeah, it's irritating, huh? Why did they come? No, so I'm actually also, I was in California last year as well. I have a lot of sponsor applications. So I already have a photo shoot.
Nice.
Monday and Tuesday with Garmin.
Yes.
Then I'm working with Cannondale, and then I'm working with Tagore. So I have a lot of business appointments over here as well. Which
very
I
good.
Back. Yeah, it's good to get all that out of the way.
Early in the season.
Exactly.
And so then you're going to do Cannes.
Yeah.
Yeah, going to do Cannes. And is that a fall?
No, that's a little bit of a weird distance.
Okay.
So it's like, I think it's 2K swim, 80K bike ride, and 60K run. So a little bit.
Yeah, and then you're either Challenge Roth or potentially Ironman Austria. You sort of have to decide. You want, but Luke wants you to do a fast race.
So I have choice. I have made my choice because I will do Challenge Denmark again.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, so my husband will be happy.
Yes, because he's a race director there.
Exactly. So he'll be happy, and then I will do Challenge Roth.
Right.
Yeah, because that's also an awesome atmosphere there and an awesome race, and I want to make every race count. You never know if when you get an injury, you never know what's going to happen. So I want to make the most out of it. And that's also why I said to Luke, hey, I want to race. I want to race a full distance also before Hawaii.
Right.
Because I love to race.
You love to race. Yeah. And I'm sure Luke was like, well, let's see if we can put in a couple of 70.3 or a half.
He would be happy if I could just do a bit
of... a couple of those, and stay away from the full.
Exactly.
But what is it... When a lot of people love the half, and then other folks just really, but there's something that connects with you for the longer distance.
Yeah, I really don't like the half either. I also
it seems like it's too fast.
It's too fast and too hard, you know.
Yeah.
Again, you're also a little bit more aware of the other girls. And
yes.
You have to.
You can't really. You have to really react when somebody makes a move.
Yeah.
There's not time to recover.
I remember last year, I really had a bad start here in Oceanside. Last year, I think it was my worst performance actually ever.
Really?
Yeah, I finished 18th or something. But I came out and I was just like up the water. I had a crash. I want to say that. I had a crash, so I didn't do Dubai. I actually was commentating in Dubai earlier that year. I bent my lower ribs because of a stupid crash on my bike.
I remember that, yeah.
So I didn't really have SRAM or anything before coming to here.
Right.
But whatever, no excuses. That was excuses, sorry. But I Heather Jackson and Heather Wortel, they were flying past me.
Yes.
And I was like, what is going to happen here?
Exactly.
So that was just, a day not to remember. But again, I really love California when the sun shines.
Not early in the morning.
So dusty in the morning, huh?
It is. It's
you just want to stay in bed.
Until like 10 o'clock or so.
Yeah.
Best race you've ever had that in terms of the importance to you, most important race for you?
Ironman Kona?
Yeah, sure.
No.
Was it the first one or this one?
I actually this one.
This one
is really clear for me, but I will say I won my first Ironman in 2012 on Lanzarote Ironman.
Oh, that's a brutal one.
That's a brutal one, but I loved it. It was like Club Ascensa is my second home, so I've been there a lot, so I knew every part of that course. And coming into it, I remember that was my second Ironman ever.
Right.
And I was sitting next to Bella Bailey's, who has won the race many times and was a legend in the sport, and I was just like this little stupid Danish girl who sat at the press conference because I was a part of Club Lacenza, and they asked me, so Michelle, what is your plan for the race? And I said, I want to swim the fastest, bike the fastest, and
run the fastest,
and then I want to win the race. And she was just looking at me. I remember the picture they took, like, what is she saying? She can't say that. But that's just,
that's the way you feel.
Yeah. So that was what I did.
What has surprised you about being a professional athlete? Because, you know, like you said, you swam when you were younger, but you never would have said, I'm going to be a professional athlete and make my living traveling the world and being an athlete. What sort of has surprised you about this lifestyle? Or has anything?
I don't know if it's anything that surprised me, but I definitely never dreamt about this.
Yes.
But I just feel privileged with all the opportunities I have, all the people I meet around the world, how big hospitality is and how big hearts people have. They just take me with their open arms.
Yes.
I had 2 days now living on the base with a really nice couple. I woke up in the morning. She went with me on the bike when I was running. She made me banana pancakes. Now I came to another place and she had baked banana bread for me. And, you know, people are just so, and I like cakes. You can hear
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah.
So people have just been so nice and so open. And it doesn't matter if you come to Raw to have a homestay or you come to California and where you are in the world, it's just like, oh, it just makes me so happy, you know.
It sounds like you'd rather be at a homestay than at a hotel.
Yeah, I love to be at homestays. I really like to
you meet
shows.
The families.
Meet the family.
So do you have homestays around the world of different people who, you know, you whenever you travel there, you stay with them and they've become lifelong friends?
Yeah, I have a few now. So I have a really good homestay. I always stay with it Raw.
Yes.
They send me this big box at Christmas with candy and Nutella. They know what I like. Last year when I arrived on my bed, they put this big 3 kilos Haribo. And I have to tell them, guys, don't do that again because I get so fat. And then I met a great couple this year in Arizona as well, Chris and Erica, who will also come to Oceanside.
Yes.
And yeah, they also, Chris was the best cook ever. So every night I got this delicious food, and I really hate to cook myself.
Yes.
Klaus hates to cook, so we always eat out.
Yeah.
So this was just like, so warm and so grateful for all the people I meet.
I love it. Yeah. I just love your attitude. I love how much you enjoy the sport, and you do understand that, you know, you've got to enjoy every second of it because you don't know how
never
long.
Never know how long, you're able to do what you're doing.
Love it. Michelle, thanks for driving all the way over here and hanging out.
It wasn't that far. And I love to drive and I love to see you. That was also why I can call you. I was like, no, Bob, I will come to you.
I love that. Yeah. I always love it when people come in studio. It's always a great time.
It is.
And it's going to be great. How long are you going to be in town?
So I will do the race. Is that the second of April?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I will stay until the 5th. I have a really busy schedule. So I will land in Denmark Wednesday night, really late. And fly out to La Santa Friday morning, stay
Start
there.
Start training with Luke coming?
No, yeah, I have a little bit of a camp there and some television from Denmark.
Yes.
And then I'll fly from Lanzarote to Cannes and do the race.
And Cannes in Australia?
No. Cannes is in France.
Oh, in France, okay.
Yeah, so it's not that far away.
Oh, okay.
In the meanwhile, I'm actually moving to another city, another house. So my mom and dad and Klaus's parents is packing down all my stuff.
Right now.
All my dirty underwear. Yeah. And all my, you know. Yeah.
So that's great. So they're all.
I don't have any dirty underwear.
I love the fact that you got everybody else packing up your stuff.
Yeah,
good
it's
job.
So weird, yeah.
Delegating. I like that. That works out really well.
Exactly.
Michelle Vesterby has been our guest in studio again. We are brought to you by Ironman U, everyone.org, everywn.org. Their event in East Bay coming up on July 24th, half marathon and a 5K. RunCatalina.com, our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on iTunes or on Babbittville.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our Endurance World newsletter. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.